FC, and of course, for the culture. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and joining me is two guys that probably had a shot on goal but did not score. It's Matt and Shanier. How are you doing, guys?
Doing all right, I guess.
What's going on with you, man? How are you doing, man?
I'm back, y'all.
Yeah, you're back.
Right in time for us to have nothing to talk about.
Pretty much. Pretty much. We made an indication, Matt, that you're no longer allowed to go to road games because the last time you did, I listened
back to that episode. First of all, been at plenty of stuff. Not my fault that the team couldn't do it this year, but I got a road point this year. I was at Tormenta, 2-2 draw.
Okay. So you see the team conceded 10 goals while we scored 2.
12. Yeah. No. I saw 2 goals last week. I believe it's 5-12. 2 North Carolina games. 2 L's.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Tormenta draw. Tucson away. Put some respect to my name. 5 goals away from home. That's probably like half the goals scored away this year.
Probably so. And 1 point.
Yeah, and 1 point. Which, didn't happen that often.
Great. That's great.
Yeah, I'm the hero here. Come on.
Yeah, very much. Let's go ahead. Let's get into this, guys. First of all, let's talk about this lineup. The graphics showed a 5-3-2, and I, along with y'all, lost our collective minds because we were like, oh, snap, he actually did it. And he did it.
Yeah.
No.
Rule number one.
Rule
number one when you're watching USL telecast, trust nothing.
Believe nothing. Everything is a lie.
It's funny because they showed on the TV 5 in the back. On FootMob, it was a 4-3-3. And on the USL Google lineup, it was a 4-4-1-1. So, yeah.
So pretty much the odd exception was Nathan Ani. He came in to replace Matt Bolduc from last week's game. And that's what we were like, oh, snap. Derek went with 5 in the back. And we were like, the first couple of minutes I was looking, I was like, all right, I don't see a 3 in the back. And then I realized, like, oh, no, Ani's, like, playing like Bolduc, and he's just stepping in the middle of the midfield, and Brian's out on the wing. And what you have to say, Shanier, we made the point last week that one of the keys of this game was if the kickers can protect the middle of the midfield and put out early fires, they have a good chance of staying in this game and pretty much controlling this game. And that's kind of what happened,
Yeah. Yeah. They to be honest with you, I think the kickers had lion's share of the chances. There was a whole spell late in the first half where we literally kept the ball on Tucson's half for, I don't know, maybe like 10 minutes. And we were just creating chance after chance after chance.
Let me ask you guys this. No, you're fine. Go ahead and finish your point. No, I was just going to ask you guys this.
We got it right here.
Go ahead, Shanier. My bad.
Yeah, but seriously, to be honest with you, I think one thing that was a bit alarming was the biggest chance that they had in the first half. The one that went off the crossbar. It was basically a shot across the bow for us, and I don't think we took the message. And I think that's what later on came back to bite us.
A little bit, but I would agree that we controlled a good portion of the game. There's maybe that period like between like 15th and 30th minute where I thought Tucson was starting to take control. I think that's that time frame when Korf rocketed the shot off the crossbar. I mean, if you think about it, that was almost a mirror image of the goal that Trimmingham scored against us about a month ago or so, almost the same exact angle and everything. Just this one was about 5 inches higher. But after that, before that, started off strong. Second half of the first half, ended up, being heavily in the kicker's, control. So as I was watching it, I was feeling very comfortable. I was feeling very good about how things were working. I thought that Nathan Ollany, really did a good job. And, maybe that's, the role that he's, better fit for, because while he's a big guy, so you usually think, big guy kind of lumbering won't really be able to be mobile. He could move in the midfield, pretty well. I'm not going to, say he moves like Bolduc does, because, clearly they don't have the same mechanics. They don't have the same type of dynamics, but for what he was being asked to do, I thought he did a good job of, covering space, clogging up, what needed to be clogged up, gave Zaka a little bit of freedom to, be able to, play a little more, horizontal as well. So I was very pleasantly surprised with how Ollany played.
Yeah, I was too. Real quick, how do you guys rate Neil's performance in the game? Because I felt like in some moments he wasn't as free to create in this game as he has been in his 5-game winning streak that we had in the year. It really seemed like FC Tucson made a point of really locking in on him and locking on Tsangi and being like, hey, we can stop these two from creating or doing anything dangerous. We might be able to hold the kickers at bay. What do you guys think about Neil's performance in this match?
Well, Neil, I feel like he kind of floated in and out of this game. And I think this is what you said, because Tucson was focusing on not allowing him to create as much as he does. And Terzaghi, of course, the guy is the Golden Boot winner 2 years in a row. You're gonna put bodies on him. And I think there was a lot of congestion around Neil and around Terzaghi that kind of, for certain spells of the game, kind of completely blocked them out of the game, and they were no longer options that we could play off of or play out from. You got to give it to Tucson, because they are our two most dangerous players in the attack, with the exception of Bolaños. But even him, they did not really allow him too many close range opportunities in certain spells of the game. I mean, there were a lot of moments where you could see that they were starting to slip and Bolaños was getting space. But there wasn't too much of that with Neil. Neil would pop up here and there and create some great passes, create some great opportunities and some chances. But you could see those moments were like wake up calls for Tucson, and they'd be like, hold on, whoa, tighten it up on him again. And that really messed our game up a little bit.
See, I got to disagree. I saw a different game then. I thought, Vinales was really productive most of the game, because his game is not going to be a, carry the ball like, an Ethan Bryant will through the midfield. His game is going to be able, to be a lot more of facilitating passes around. It's a really reductive way of, thinking it, but kids from Barcelona, his style of play at its optimal moment is probably a lot more, Xavi and Iniesta, get the ball, move the ball sort of thing. You think about all those little connections that we saw at the sidelines between, Calvo, getting the ball up to Bryant. It wasn't, often a, Calvo directly to Bryant kind of pass. It was going through somebody, and that somebody, 80% of the time was Neil Vinales. Other side, with Cole Bolaños, there was a connective piece there. It's almost always Neil, through there. So little, quick one touch, passes to be able to, get the ball, up and around, to be able to move the ball through, to be able to cycle it back to, Jalen or Yvonne if that was the necessary play. So it wasn't necessarily maybe the most flashy things, although I thought he did have a few really good, no look passes, no look back heel, sort of balls, to be able to, help release one of our wingers. I thought he was really effective for what he does well. I thought that this style of game actually fit his skill set better than our usual style.
Yeah, it does seem like it seemed it was weird because I think when you guys mentioned about how you guys kind of had this sense of comfort around the second half, and it kind of seemed like, all right, like we're controlling this game, we're still like creating chances, it seemed like something was going to happen, like we were going to finish the chance, and it just never really came. A player like Jonathan Bolognese, how much do you think that chance early on in the game, I think it was like the third minute, and the chance right at the end of the first half, how much do you think that sticks with him going into next year?
Into next year? I don't know about that. I mean,
Not next year, but how much do you think that sticks with him throughout the like the next 48 hours? Just knowing.
If we're looking longer term, I think he might spend a little bit more time working on his headed finishes, because he probably really should have scored at least one of those, two. I mean, there were a couple, I don't want to call them dunks, but layups. Maybe is slightly better term, where it's not 100%er, but it's you'd expect it more often than not, sort of thing. But I think from almost any good attacker, and if you make it to the professional level, you're a good attacker, no matter whether you're an elite at this level, whether you're Lewandowski, whoever, you're still a really good player. And I think for most attacking players, you have a very short memory on these sort of things. Because if you don't, you're probably not going to make it to that point anyway, because you have to have a pretty good level of confidence, to be successful. Because as an attacker, you fail most of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It was just great to just see him make that header in the second or third minute, man. Because it started out funny because I didn't realize it was Trezeguet who made the crossing, because normally he's inside the box himself. And just see Bologna raise the way how he did, get a head onto it. It would have been great to see him finish that off. But another two players that stuck out in this game were the fullbacks. Shanae, you made a point last week about how the key to this matchup was if the kickers can control the wings, they have a good chance of sticking in this game, because they lost control of that early on in that first matchup against FC Tucson. Can we speak about, and I know you guys are going to laugh at me because I said it in the chat already, but I have to give credit where credit is due, Calvo and Chris Cole, more so Calvo, did an excellent job of dealing with Shaq Adams, eliminated a lot of his dangerous chances. Coming out of that wing, did great in his 1v1 battles, and also his tackling alone as well.
I mean, to be honest with you, especially in the second half, Shaq Adams was pretty quiet, and I think we couldn't have, give credit to Calvo and Cole with regards to that, because we know Shaq Adams likes to play wide. He likes to use the channels to attack from. I saw him on both sides throughout the game, and both Cole, and especially Cole, because most of the times it was Cole, both Cole and Calvo both kept him pretty quiet, especially in the second half. He had a couple of moments that were a little dangerous, but apart from that, they did a phenomenal job of keeping him out of the game.
Yeah, I thought they played pretty well. Overall, Calvo's definitely grown into his own over the course of the year. A little shaky early on, but he's become a lot more reliable. I don't think we've had too many Calvo outbursts on the podcast over the last couple months.
Man? You could just say my name. Just say my name, okay?
We criticize him too. But yeah, I think they were, perfectly solid. I still think in the perfect Darren vision, I don't know if they bring as much on the attacking end as he might ideally want out of it. But if we're looking for stay at home fullbacks, they're both good options.
Yeah, they are. I think what you lose in the attacking third, as far as assist, I think you gain a little bit more stability in the defensive half. Because I'm pretty sure if you had Ian and Devontae back there, they probably would have been more joining an attack. Definitely probably would have had a shot on goal or something like that throughout the course of the year. But that's not their strong suit. Their strong suit is being more defensive, and nothing wrong with that. I mean, it worked perfectly well in this game. Before we talk about the ill-fated goal that Tucson had with their only shot on target the entire match, is there anything in this match that you would change on Darren's perspective? Do you think he was kind of weighing his hand, waiting to extra time to make a deep sub to bring in an Olex in the extra time or anything like that?
I don't know. You know, because I like one thing that the Kickers were doing in the second half that I don't think we saw very often this year is that they were shooting the ball and they were, you know, not being afraid to take, you know, some rips from, you know, 20, 25 yards. And I mean, it almost worked out a couple times because Lapsley, you know, did not have the surest of hands. He was, you know, stopping, you know, shots pretty well, but he wasn't catching them clean. He was, you know, leaving, you know, a little bit of a rebound, you know, here and there that could have potentially, you know, worked out in our favor. But, you know, and like many attacks this year, a lot of it came down, you know, from the left with Bolaños or Terzaghi kind of, you know, just really taking their right back, you know, to school quite a few times in the second half and, you know, getting that little, you know, cut in and, you know, being able to find a good look or being able to, you know, get the ball over to, I think Bryant had at least one or two that he, you know, took from outside the area. I feel like, you know, somebody else, you know, had another look along the way too. And I liked seeing that because good things can happen when, you know, you shoot the ball. You know, whether it's because you made a good shot, whether it's because you got some dumb luck, whether it's, you know, you get some a deflection, who knows? But if you put the ball, you know, on target, you put it towards goal, you've got a chance.
Yeah, that's very much true. And that's not something we haven't truly seen a lot from the Kickers this year, let alone being on the road. Anything from you, Shanair, as far as would you make any changes if you were Darren leading up to that point, or do you think he was pretty much playing it right and it just happened not to go his way?
I mean, I think there's not really much I would think about doing different. The Kickers played well. It's just one moment lapsed concentration and we lost the game. But apart from that, we created some chances and I'm just thinking about, you know, Terzaghi had some chances that could have gone either way. Bolaños had some chances that could have gone either way. Ethan had a pretty decent shot from pretty far out that actually put a little scare in Tucson and made Lapsley have to really work to keep that out. But I mean, it's just one of those games that you play this game again, and even with the same lineup, with the same tactics, on a different day, could have been our game. We could have easily won that game, you know. And that's the frustrating part about it.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to change anything, yeah. I look at the two subs that happened before the goal. So Victor coming in for Ani around the 60th minute. I don't know if that, you know, that's fitness related, you know, what the deal was there. I don't know if it really made that big of a difference, to be totally honest. You know, because, you know, I think Victor was fine, you know, in the game, you know, too, but I thought Ani played really well. So might have given him a little more run, but you know, the other change around, I think it was like 80th minute or so when Bolduc came on. I don't mind Bolduc coming on. I probably would have taken Bryant off and left Bolaños out there. And I know Bolaños was on a yellow. I'm willing to trust him, you know, take the chances, you know, that he's not going to do something, you know, to pick up a second, you know, yellow card, you know, there, because, you know, he's been the number one actual creator of anything dangerous all year long and for most of the game today as well. So, yeah, he might have been, you know, maybe not 100% at that point because he'd been running a ton. But I'm going down with the ship right there. Yeah. If it's me.
Do you think the only reason why Darren took Bolaños off was in the bring back on? It was just to have a little bit more in the midfield to try to you know, try to slow down the game even more. Or
maybe, I mean, obviously we're not him, like, yeah. But I mean, isn't that more what Bryant's there for anyways, to kind of, you know, make it a little bit more imbalanced and, you know, give Bolaños presumably a little less defensive responsibility and be able to stay higher. And mm-hmm. you know, so if you have Bryant and Bolduc out on the wings, you know, they kind of do a little bit of the same thing with, that's why they've been swapping back and forth so much over the last month and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it would have been nice to see Oleg come and beat us up, you know,
yeah.
instead of going over 86 minutes. But the goal, guys, I know it's heartbreaking. I know, but we got to talk about it. What did you see happen on the goal that Tucson eventually scored? From what I saw was Chris Cole was just a second too late to pick up his mark. He's kind of seemed lined up with Yvonne and them. And then he realizes, like, oh, snap, Devon is receiving the ball. Let me hear if we get there. And by the time he gets there, Devon is already turned and shooting the ball into the near upper post past Akira. What did you guys see on that goal chance?
It's two things. Firstly, yeah, Cole did see it late, did see that pass late. But I do think he got there in time because he gets there before Korf turned. And I do feel that there was a little bit of a he basically allowed Korf to bully him with a turn. And I think that there needed to be a little bit more physicality from Cole there to kind of let Korf know, look, there's a body here and I'm not going to let you have an easy shot. That turn was a little too easy for my liking with Cole being there early enough to do something about it.
So, Shemir, can I ask you this, just real quick? Do you think that since Cole got there late, we both agree on that point, do you think if Cole comes into that challenge a little bit more physical, do you think Kofi then takes advantage of it, trying to get the penalty? Because then Cole is kind of like in flight mode of just like rushing into him and not being in control of the situation.
Well,
dude, no, I'm just asking. I'm not just real disaster.
I don't think it's an issue of coming in with pace. I think it's an issue of staying strong. Because if a player has, because to be honest with you, Korf he wasn't fully with his back to our goal, but he almost was. And in that situation, as a defender, bread and butter is you don't let that player turn. You don't let him turn. And he was there early enough to prevent that turn. And I just feel that asking him to go in for a tackle. And because in that situation with someone with their back to goal, you don't go in for a tackle. You maintain, you keep behind them, you force the ball the other way. But I think he allowed that turn to be way too easy.
Well, I think, yeah, if you're a defender there, you have to make sure the ball stops because, correct me if I'm misremembering, but that came, you know, the ball came into Korf directly on a throw-in. So it was coming mm-hmm. pretty laterally. And, you know, the ball never, you know, I think really stopped. So it came laterally, you know, across. So when he turned, you know, the ball
pretty much volleyed.
Yeah, the ball just, you know, he went with the ball onto his turn, onto his left foot. And, you know, that's where I think, you know, Cole could have done a better job. You know, he could have, you know, bodied him, not like Shinier was saying, not necessarily, you know, tackling him, but put a body on him and make him hold the ball upright there rather than, you know, turn with it. Even if it's to cut back onto his right foot, that's going to be, you know, a worse angle. There's going to be help, you know, right there. But if you just let the ball run and turn, you know, that's going to put you flat footed as a defender right there. The attacker's going to have a little bit more momentum in that case. And I think that's where, you know, the critical error ended up happening.
So it's almost like Cole is just praying for like an oh shoot moment. Like, I really hope he just overhits this and misses it and he doesn't come back by me. Which we did. Yeah. Real quick.
I mean, that, oh, yeah.
No, you go, Shannon. Go ahead and say it. I already cut you off.
Add that to be honest with you, there were not many mistakes from the kickers. There was one other glaring one that was that almost cost us a goal. I know I texted you guys when that happened. That was Ethan Bryant's moment where we lose the ball in their half, and rather than making a straight run back to get back to cut off the angle, he literally turns towards the Tucson player who's breaking away and literally runs behind him. Like, literally just, it's like he just went in behind him and is of completely no use. And the just open space.
I thought Ethan's issue on that one happened far sooner than that, because everybody was up on a corner except for, like, you know, Calvo and Cole, I think, or you might have just been Calvo, you know, back, and you know, the ball popped out to Ethan, and he, you know, started trying to, you know, dribble somebody and just got stuffed on it, and that's what led him out on, like, a, you know, 4-on-2 jailbreak. You know, there's, you know, you got all the, you know, the big boys up in the box right then. You're 25 yards out, you know, serve that back in, give them a chance to do something, you know, because even if you make that successful dribble right there, what are you doing? You're crossing the ball back in anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a moment from him. I mean, yeah, but the way he tracked back, I mean, as a midfielder, you should know better. that was very scary. But we were able to not concede in that moment. But again, this was again another, apart from that shot that hit the crossbar in the first half. Again, this was a second warning shot across the bow that I feel that should have made us tighten it up a little more. And we kind of did as a whole, but again, to have that second lapse of concentration that cost us the goal, it was, and so late in the game too, which makes it, I wouldn't say more excusable, but it's more likely to happen later on in the game with tired legs and tired minds. And Tucson capitalized on it.
Yeah, and credit though on that, you know, jailbreak play that we were talking about, Chris Cole clearing the ball off the line, you know, saving us there. So, you know, if we're gonna, you know, be, you know, you get on him, you know, about the goal that happened, you know, he kept it from being 1-0 earlier on.
Yeah, he did. He did very much so. How do you guys rate Akira's performance in this match? I mean, granted, he didn't have any saves, so his player rating is a little low, and he did give it the one shot. But outside of that, how do you think Akira has done in this match? I can't speak right now. The silence is dead.
To be honest with you, that shot, the goal, that was a pretty good shot. And like you said, they didn't really have any other shots on target, not really. So it's really hard to judge Akira in this game with him not having that many saves to make. So I don't know. I mean, I did see a little bit of a sign of a worry with that first shot that hit the crossbar. It reminded me of Shaq Adams' goal last week against us. How at that close range, I think there is a lack of reaction from a lack of reflex from Akira in those situations, and I think a lot of teams towards the end of the season were starting to try and capitalize on that when they played us.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're just looking at this last game in a vacuum, like, yeah, I mean, there's only but so much to be able to evaluate. You know, but yeah, if we're going to, you know, advocate for Akira as, you know, top candidate for best keeper in the league, you know, you expect him than to be able to, you know, make the one big save again that you're asking out of him, right? So it was a good shot, but it was not an impossible shot to save. You know, it seems like a lot, you know, of, you know, the danger points lately have been relatively, you know, high shots, you know, kind of above his, you know, like shoulder reach area. So, you know, kind of going between ear and shoulder, you know, sort of square. you know, there, if we're thinking back to, again, that Fuller Madison goal by Trimmingham, if we're thinking, you know, back to Corf, well, you know, last weekend, if we're thinking back, you know, to, I guess none of the other ones last week were high, but to this one, we think back to the earlier one in the first half where it rang the crossbar. Yeah, even, you know, I don't blame him for not saving this one, but the breakaway, you know, Omaha had at the end of the game, you know, they, you know, kind of went, you know, over him on that. Again, I don't blame him for that because that was a clean breakaway, you know, but at least over the last month or so, there seems to have been a little bit of a pattern, you know, building, whether that's, you know, coincidental or whether that's something, you know, that might, you know, be something that's been scouted out. I don't know. You know, it's small enough sample size. It could be a coincidence, but it's a noticeable trend.
Yeah, it is. We'll definitely dive deep into the roster next week on our end of the year season preview podcast. So make sure you get ready for that. Survey will be going out for that soon. As soon as I get a chance to make it, probably when this podcast drop, you'll probably get the survey as well. I'm not making no promises, but you'll get it soon. It won't be the day before like last year. any last things before we wrap up with our last season preview? I mean, not season preview, game review of the year.
I thought it was rather ironic that the one game this year where the kickers are fairly ball dominant are creating, you know, a significant higher percentage peppering the goal with shots, and the other team is the one that's sitting back observing, you know, getting a random, you know, break, but really only having one or two looks at goal, is the game they lose 1-0. You know, it was Tucson basically said, oh, you think you can play this way? You know, let us show you. We can play this way and we'll beat you at your own game. And unfortunately they did.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they basically beat us at our own game with that in that game. Again, like I said, with all the chances we created on any other day, this could have been a completely different game. This could have been, you know, we could have scored 2-3 goals, depending on, you know, just marginal situation. So it it's rough. It hurts a bit, but you know, especially towards the end of the game. One thing that we did talk about, I do feel that at the end, especially any substitution that happens after the goal, why didn't we see Hernan Gonzalez come on? Because if we're going to be lumping the ball forward, he's the tallest guy we've got. He's our hold-up striker. Mm-hmm. Put him on there. You're not requiring him to do a bunch of running. Put him on there, lump the ball forward, and hope. You know, hit and hope. I mean, it's kind of hard to hit and hope with some of the shortest guys on the squad up there, you know. But again, apart from that, it was the kickers played very well. The kickers played very well.
Yeah, I agree with your sentiments. I think the kickers played really well. It's weird, even though it's a loss and in the playoffs, I think this is probably the kickers' best role performance. Outside of the goal giving up, this is probably their best performance on the road collectively. Like, they didn't look – I would say this is far different from the 4-0 loss against North Carolina. It is not – this is a building block for the kickers. I'll just put it like that. Like, they can take this in the 2022 because year 3 under Darren is going to be a big year. We all know that, you know – we'll fully get a firm picture of what this roster, what this team, what this club is going to be year 3 under Darren Sawatzky. It's a positive step. It's not the step that we all were probably projecting at the start of the year. Definitely not where we're struggling to get back-to-back even draws. But it's a positive nonetheless. I think a lot of players come out of this game looking a little bit more positive than what they did going into it. So we'll see. We'll definitely talk more about that at the end of the year pod. But Guys, as always, it is a pleasure doing this podcast with y'all.
Quick one before you sign off here. Even though we're out, who do you think is going to win it? Who do you want to win it?
Oh my God. Well, okay. Let me ask you this. Y'all think Tucson got a chance?
No.
Is UU Omaha?
No. No.
Is that the hurt talking? Because if it is, I totally agree with y'all.
No, I think Omaha's going to, you know, win it all. You know, I think they have the better rosters. They got the baseball field working in their favor as well. I think it's going to play out right for them. And I think I'm okay with that.
I think at the end of the day, we're looking at basically what was projected to be the finals at the beginning of the year, Union and Greenville. And that's going to be our final. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I would call it. I could call it between those two.
I would say
Union have been fairly consistent with some drop-off throughout the season, and so have Greenville. And so it's like, we don't know which Greenville or Union team is going to show up on that final day.
Yeah. I will say this. I can see any of the four teams winning it. I can see any of the four teams losing it. But if I had to put all my money in on one team, right now it's Greenville. They've been the most consistent USL League One team the past 2 years. And it's something about Harks in playoff time that's very difficult to beat them. And I think they already got their boogeyman out of North Texas. So, and yeah, that's the only team to beat them in the playoffs.
So who do you want to win then?
Greenville.
Really? Okay.
Greenville. Yeah. I want to see Greenville.
Yeah, especially with the way things started at the beginning of this season with Union Omaha in terms of their social media stuff. I'm like, I'd want to see Greenville take it. Because especially with all the talk and all the hype and all the, we've stacked up on players. We digged into the war chest, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay.
Put your
money in your mouth is basically.
You could always go with the light it all on fire and go with the Chattanooga approach and just watch it all burn.
Yeah. I trust Greenville.
Nobody will care if Tucson wins.
No. I say this, the final has to be Union versus Greenville. That's the only interesting final.
I mean, Chattanooga against Omaha could be interesting. You got Hurst and Doyle against their old team.
I don't know. I don't think that's as interesting, though.
There's a storyline there.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just because I still can't tell you exactly why I just don't like Chattanooga Red Wolves. So I don't want to keep going past.
Never know. You never know. All right. But as always, guys, we want to say thank y'all for rocking with us year 3 of the podcast. It's been a pleasure bringing you these post-game reviews. You know, you've been with us with the highs, the lows, all in betweens. But make sure you stick with us next week as we do our end of the year review, where we'll go through all the listener questions, give you our team of the year, anything. As that being said, guys, you can follow the show on Twitter at RiverCity93, on Facebook at RiverCity93. Make sure you give us a 5-star review, like, share, and subscribe as always. And we will holler at you guys later.